Butler's got it. And Butler with a couple of fakes. Butler, 10 in the shot. Into Bam and a two-hand jam to Bam. Boy, Jimmy Butler, he's got eyes in the back of his head, I swear.
God, it's just impressive. I mean, he's fourth in the league in recovering balls and first in recovering loose balls on the
offensive end. Jimmy Butler on the wing to Bam. Bam's going to go coast to coast. Bam puts it up. Got it to go. Miami down by one now. And Atlanta's going to take a timeout. Robinson in the corner. Back to Bam. Bam's going to go to the basket. And a two-hand jam. A nice play, Robinson. Everyone looked at Robinson to get that pass. And Bam said, ha-ha, faked you right to the rim.
Yeah, great job because he's been so hot from three.
Now Robinson ducks it down to Bam. Bam. Oh, little show and go. Finger roll. Got it and fouled. How about that point guard, Bam, with the little show and go behind the back?
Oh, that was just incredible. He faked the behind-the-back pass, brought it back up for a finger roll. Just a work of art by Bam.
Felt slightly bad for Vince Carter on that one. That was just Father Time. Father Time scored on him on that one. Just right over his head, Leroy. And Bam was happy. He was doing the old head nod afterwards. He was doing Jimmy Butler intense after he hit that shot. He was flexing. He was doing the old Bosch roar yesterday. It was exciting. Woo! Nice night at the Heat's house, Lazan. Star Wars night. Baby Yoda. Hey, Heat, using the Baby Yoda meme. Boop! The Heat is our home. And I don't know who did this yesterday, but shout out to the Heat. Whoever put the Baby Yoda cutout with the Heat Vice jersey on, mwah, chef's kiss. That was delicious. Delicious yesterday. What a Star Wars night it was at the Heat's house.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was awesome. Even watching it on TV.
Oh, it was so much fun. I mean, I don't mind them. I wouldn't mind movie themes more often as far as, like, the music
but
and tracks.
You can't have movie themes more often because there's only one Star Wars, and that's, I mean, besides...
You can have Avengers, Avengers Night?
Star Trek.
Oh, you know what I loved? I love that. Remember, Robbie, back in the day, Gary Sheffield coming up to the old... What is Darth Vader's theme known as? Is it just...
Imperial March.
Imperial... Oh, he would come to the Imperial March. Gary Sheffield with that bat wag. Ooh! Ooh! That was scary. Still hitting bombs over 50.
That'd be something 50. If, like, today they just put a lightsaber in his hand.
Yeah.
Waggling the lightsaber.
Yeah. Waggling the oh, man. That was, it was really great. Adam Bees is going to join us in about 20 minutes.
Yep.
We'll talk to our boy Bees, but let's get caught up on what went down last night at the AAA and the rest of the sports world.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, we're finally going to find out the long mystery about whether the Dolphins came back to Miami or they stayed up in New York and practicing all week.
Right. We were finally.
No, I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. I want to find out from Beasley.
So is the question just Beasley? Have you been in New York this whole time? Or have the Dolphins been in New York this whole time?
Well, Beasley might have traveled back, but yeah, the Dolphins could have still stayed up there in practice. Actually, you know, I guess he'd have to be there to cover practice. But yeah, and the Heat, big win last night. It was a party.
It was a party. I don't know what these Star Wars people call a party, but that was a party. That was a Leia Luau. It was going down yesterday, Leroy. A Skywalker shindig.
It looked icy.
Skywalker.
It looked icy.
A Han Solo hoedown. Emphasis on the down.
We were down by 6 with about a minute to left, and then Trae Young declared the game to be over.
Yeah, well, Trae Young doesn't know basketball. I don't know what to tell him. I don't know what to tell you.
Isn't that how it always works?
A little too big for your britches there, Trae Young.
A little lesson for the Padawan.
Yep, a little one to send you on your way. What are you sending me? What is
In
this?
Florida.
Okay. There's no way that's real, Leroy. Leroy just gave me a thing that says, meanwhile in Florida, Robbie, with one of those construction signs that have the messages on it, and it says, lane closures in Florida. And it said, lane closures for no effing reason. There's no way that's real.
Yeah.
You just got.
I fall for it.
Yeah.
I thought there was like a giant alligator on the street or something.
Yeah, you fell for that like Joe Rose always falls for you scaring.
Oh, no way.
Yep.
No way.
You got duped.
No way.
You got duped, my friend. What else you got, Robbie?
Yeah, it was, I mean, Duncan Robinson won 3-point away from the Heat record.
On, son.
Butler, triple-double. Bam, triple-double. First time in Heat history. Two players in the same game for the Heat had a triple-double.
That's pretty crazy. All the great players the Heat have had, but those guys are the first ones to do it.
And also the first time in NBA history, two undrafted players on the same team had 30 points, Duncan Robinson and both Kendrick Nunn accomplished that feat.
I know. And you know what the funny thing is like Jimmy Butler wasn't even that pleased after the game with the effort. He's like, you know, it's I'm glad everybody's happy about it, but he knows that the team is can you give me some of this, Robbie? Like him talking about what the team is capable of and what's expected of them, because you know, he wasn't this jovial guy after the game. You know, Jimmy Butler, you never quite know. He did. Now, Jimmy Butler always takes a long time to get ready to talk to the media, Leroy. Like, always. Some people are saying it's ridiculous. I remember some of the days waiting for Dwayne Wade. At least Jimmy Butler just throws on the sweatpants afterwards. I remember some of the outfits Dwayne Wade was getting ready for. I mean,
LeBron.
Yeah, those
they
guys
had like makeup in the locker room.
Those
or something,
guys took some. Those guys took some time. I think this is the thing that I think it gets everybody. Jimmy, Dwayne would always just hide in the back, and then he'd just come up when he's ready. Jimmy will just sit there scrolling on Instagram for a good 30 minutes, then go shower, then come back, get dressed. He does it all in front of you. He don't care. He's gonna blast his country music. He doesn't care. But out of all of the good from yesterday, he wasn't really celebrating the win. He was happy they got the win, but he thinks that the team is capable of a lot more.
We know what we're capable of. We just have so many mental lapses that we love to win, but not all wins are good ones, but we'll take them all. I think we just got to be better on the defensive end of the floor. We do.
And here's Jimmy Hughes talking about what the team knows is expected from them and getting themselves all set. I think it's because of the defensive effort. Like, I get you. Like Atlanta had a crazy, crazy game from three, but you know Jimmy's a guy who wants to go lock people down.
I think we know what's expected of us, and we realize that nobody feels sorry for us. Nobody really cares. It's all about winning and losing. We have a job to do, especially at home, and we finally decided to do it. But you know, sometimes it's going to be too late. We don't need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he said. You know, at some point it catches up to you, doesn't it? But not yet. That's basically it. Like, when you're young, you think you can get away with all that. But Jimmy, being a veteran, knows that when it catches up to you, it could catch up to you at the wrong time. So right. We need to start paying attention to it now. And that's basically what that conversation is.
Can I get one more from him, Robbie, where he talks about it's all about defense, cut four, where he is letting everybody know this is what he wants the team to be having as its identity?
I don't like to talk about the offensive end. I'm telling you. We know that we can score.
Yeah.
We know that we can do that. But everybody has to lock in on the defensive end. Wow.
Yeah.
That was Gorn. it's all about defense for us.
Yeah.
It is.
We you're got right. guys that you're, can you're score. Right.
Wait, it's amazing. A guy who says that his nickname is not Lockdown, is Buckets.
That's right. Your name is not the Glove.
Right. He's sitting there trying to talk about defense. Meanwhile, people yelling Buckets across the
Robbie, this is one thing though. Like, I know that he
they're
wants
winning.
But I know, but they win a lot, Leroy, and they have fun.
Yeah.
It's not a suit and tie team. Like they're a little free. The team is a little bit of a free spirit. Like they have fun. It's a bit of a I don't want to say it's a clown show, but they razz on each other. They like being in each other's company. And I know that things are like that. They really haven't had a bad stretch this year. But like, can I hear Goran again in the background just screaming in the midst of his postgame? Because this has become a huge theme of the team, with just interrupting interviews.
I don't like to talk about the offensive end. I'm telling you, we know that we can score.
Yeah.
We know that we can do that. But everybody has to lock in on the defensive end. Wow.
Yeah.
That was Goran.
It's
all about defense for us.
Yes.
It is. We
you're
got
right.
guys that
you're,
can score.
You're right.
Oh, excuse me.
I'm really hoping you said Buckets.
Yeah, I thought that was Alonzo Mourning. I didn't know. Hey, Buckets! Just so you know, it's me, Gogi, Buckets! I love you.
An English laugh.
Somebody said, why does Strokinson have Marino's number? Because he's not playing football, dummy.
I don't understand.
Because Marino's number is honored. It's not retired.
That's Bam.
I mean,
Bam
no.
Is, yeah,
why does Strokinson have...
It's Jason Williams' number.
Yeah, Bam wears 55.
What is...
And Josh Harrelson.
I don't even know what
Josh
the hell
Harrelson.
Is. You see, look at the top text.
Why Stroganson got Marino's number? Isn't it retired? It is not retired. It is honored. Plenty of people have worn number 13 since they've done that. Shabazz Napier wore it. Mike Miller wore it. A lot of people have worn it.
Stroganson doesn't even wear it.
No, he doesn't. That guy's an idiot.
Right.
But I'm letting people know there's a difference between Marino and
Jordan.
There's a Heat big man that they had from Florida State who wore number 13. I'm blanking on his name. It wasn't that long ago.
Who was it?
He went to Florida State. He played for the Heat. And he was just big man.
Not Kaziak Paula. Akara White?
Yeah, not Akara White. It was before that.
Akara White wore 15, I feel like. I don't remember, though, who the other guy was. But, yeah, 13's not retired, bro. I don't know what to tell you. Buckets! Just so everybody knows, it's Goran Dragic. Oh, really? Didn't know. Very handsome, nice buckets! Just a party, man. Everything's a party.
My best part is gotta get my money.
Oh yeah. Robbie, give me Bam and Jimmy again from last night. Bam and Jimmy Butler have themselves a little wager on the year now. Jimmy is trying to get Bam to expand his game, so he has decided to it's a fine bonus. It's not even a bet. It's more of a fine bonus system.
Right.
So if Bam doesn't shoot a three, he owes 500. If he takes a three, he gets 500. But the other night, when Bam took his first three in a while since this system has been implemented, he shouted over to Bam, "Hey man, where's my money? You owe me 500." And he goes, "We're even, stupid," because
right.
He was already down in the hole 500. But now Bam is on the plus side, so I want to know, like, when does he want to come collect? So I asked Bam yesterday, "Hey man, you're on the plus side. What's the deal?"
Now you're on the plus side of his bet.
Yeah, hey bro, tell him bring me my.
And then so we get to Jimmy
money.
So then we get to Jimmy Butler's session, and you gotta ask Jimmy Butler, "Hey, what's up with the money?" That's what he had to say.
It's really like a pop when you all have to take a three. It does seem like for a three.
Did he take a three tonight?
Yeah, did
he really?
Yeah, he's plus
in the third quarter.
I gotta see it.
It's working.
I don't remember.
Like, it seems like it's working, like whatever motivating tactics you're using.
I don't remember that play.
What is the tab? Like, what does everybody have to pay up on? Is this a season thing?
Yeah, it's a seasonal thing. He really shot a three?
Yes, he did.
I think his foot was on the line.
No. You could argue he got fouled and they didn't call it, so it shouldn't count it. The attempt is in the books, yes.
Damn it, Bam.
You're the one who set the.
I know, but now he actually be going out there shooting threes. We got to talk to Spo. He shouldn't do that.
So much fun.
Well, I lost in that clip. This guy came back.
Dana, what are your impressions of the South Florida crowd tonight? It's been a while since you guys have been here.
Yeah, I'm that guy, but I have the most nonsense questions. Like, everybody asks these questions about, the team, the triple doubles. I want to know about the shenanigans, which is, I think, it's a good lane for me, Leroy. I don't want
to. Does seem like
did he take a three tonight?
Yeah, he
did. Did he really?
Yeah, he's plus in the third.
Yeah. Let the pros like Ira Windeman and Tim Reynolds ask the basketball questions. I want to ask about the bets. Funny voices and nicknames and memes. That's what I want to talk about.
Of course.
What else we got going on in sports, Robbie?
You want some interesting action for tonight?
Yes.
Pretty good NBA game tonight. Kawhi's return to Toronto.
Oh, I'm into that.
7 o'clock on ESPN.
You were going to say Toronto.
Mike English. Pull out a win.
Kawhi visit Toronto.
Yeah, it's at 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Also tonight, the next episode of Man vs. Bear. I'm going to give it one more try.
It was garbage.
It's circus bears, and it's the same tricks. I'm sure it's gonna be the same episode with just three different new contestants. If it's the same thing, I might be out. I'm getting
say Spumoni.
That's a safe word. we haven't gotten to this yet, but Bill Belichick.
Oh my God! Come on, man.
He told the Cincinnati media in his news conference call this week that he did not, quote, knowingly cross the line in any way with tape.
That's
and
some old. That's some old Brendan Tobin verbal jujitsu.
No.
May have dodged the bullet. I said knowingly. That's a get out of jail free card.
I was listening to Zaslow and Jethro yesterday. They played a clip from Mike and Mike, and it was like this whole thing about Kraft Productions and whatnot. This is apparently what they did in Spygate. Like, that was their cover-up, was saying they worked for Robert Kraft. So, like, everything they said in their statement, they already used in explaining Spygate the last time. It's not a great look, man. I don't look. Hey, listen to me. They cheat a lot. What do you want me to say?
We can't just imagine that they just stopped cheating all these years, then all of a sudden, we're playing the Bengals. Let's make sure we cheat for the Bengals. There's no way that happened.
Can I get Belichick yesterday? It's in our FTP folder, Robbie, number 19. Like, I want to hear what this denial sounds like. I'm sure he's really broken up about it.
I have no involvement in this and no knowledge of it, and I really don't have any idea what exactly is going on. I can tell you that, you know, we've never, as a coaching staff, and I personally have never viewed any video footage at all, anything that those production people have done, you know, other than what's shown on public television or something like that. We don't have anything to do with what they do, so I really don't have much knowledge of the situation at all.
Sure, bro. Whatever you say. Not buying it. Anyway. Adam Beasley, our boy.
Which, by the way, I just thought about this right now. This may help the Dolphins a little bit because, let's say the Patriots lose a first-round pick again, and the Dolphins, the Dolphins' first second-round pick might be closer to a first-round pick. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it's like the old Philip Merlin.
Philip Merlin, yes.
Didn't really work out for us, but, you know, whatever. Adam Beasley, we'll talk a little Dolphins with him. Is Tom Brady going to be the Dolphins' quarterback next year? Next. A couple things. Before the end of today's show, we will give away another pair of tickets to come watch the Panthers with us next week. Taking a bunch of listeners out to the BB&T Center. So be listening for Sergei Bobrovsky talking about his love for trampolines. That's your cue to call. 786-360-0790. So we got that for you. Also, we got to do some more celebrating the last night. But...
yeah, you only got one more night.
It's still Dolphin season.
Lakers are coming to town Friday.
What do you mean?
Are the celebrations supposed to stop because Lakers are coming to town?
I already told you, Astron's going to be out there. Astron's assembling, and our Instagram ass models are going to be out there distracting Anthony Davis. It's going to be hard times for him on Friday night.
Don't put Lizzo out there.
Did you see the Houston Rockets mascot do Lizzo's outfit?
No,
I'll get that video all for right. you so you can enjoy that. But let's go out to the Ryan Fuels and Outskirts Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. There we'll find our boy Adam Beasley, covers the Miami Dolphins. Bees! What's up, man?
Guys, I want to thank you. I'm really grateful that you can still talk about this National Football League team we have in town, even though they're completely irrelevant, and you have the high-flying Miami Heat that you can talk about for 4 hours a day without break.
Dude, it is a party. I'm not going to lie. Like everything we're trying to get through when I'm watching seven field goals, when I'm watching threes rain in a building that's going crazy and there's Ewoks walking around, it's kind of the opposite of that. I don't know what to tell you, man.
How did it happen so fast? Like, the team was completely irrelevant last year. They were mediocre. They were no good. It can't be just Jimmy Butler. What happened here?
Hassan Whiteside's
gone, and they've replaced him with a guy who's way better than him, who's taken a leap at 22, who apparently was super talented and can do everything basically except for shoot the three. And then they have all these young bucks who could do nothing but shoot the three, so they all take care of that, while their two other best players just facilitate like crazy, and their defense is great. Yeah, man, they're just a really fun team.
What's the ceiling for this team?
I'm thinking, second round. I'm thinking NBA Finals in five games.
I'm on side more with Leroy, but I hope you're right.
Why do you ask him a serious question?
I'm not going to back off my prediction of 67 wins.
67 wins? Dude, no, you can't start drinking this early in the morning.
Hey.
I haven't gone. I didn't go home last night, Beasley. I went from the arena and I went and slept on the couch here.
Beasley, I understand that.
Man, don't get caught up in it. Just do your thing. You got to let that go.
He said
67 wins, and you look at him and say, huh, good choice. And you move on.
Speaking of places that aren't a party, how is Flores? Is he calmed down? Because one thing I do like about him is, I mean, this dude gets fired up with these referees, man. And I do respect that. For any talk of him not wanting to win games or try and tank, that is very clearly not the case.
Yeah, man, I was hoping someone would give him some oxygen on Sunday because I thought he might pass out. I mean, he was that dude was lit up. I mean, he was as angry as I've seen a coach in a long time. And, God, just one week, please, NFL Films or Dolphins Productions, mic up the coach. Please let us hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
Well, because it would be the best television I've ever seen. It would be just absolutely fantastic. It would all be bleeps, I'm sure, because you could do some lip reading, and there are a lot of four-letter words he drops. But he's got no back down in him, right? I mean, he is a guy that's going to fight for every inch, to use a tired cliche, but it's true. I mean, he loves the guys in his locker room. He's going to fight for them. He's going to do everything he can to help them win. And when he thinks that he's been hosed, he is going to lose his ever-living mind. And that's what he believes happened on Sunday. Personally, I disagree. It's unpopular opinion in these parts, but it was pass interference. Oh. Nick Needham did get to Vincent Smith early and turned his right shoulder before the ball arrived.
Hey, Bees.
You know, I can understand their anger since it wasn't called in the field, should it have been called in replay. That's the rule now. That's what the NFL has decided is important. And at a moment like that where the game is on the line, that call decided the game. I mean, sometimes it's overblown to say a call decided the game. That call 100% decided the game. The Dolphins would have won. Because we know, unless he calls the Miami Miracle, Gase ain't picking up 4th and 18, right?
Right.
And so the Dolphins would have won that game, and instead the Jets didn't because of a decision made in New York. I can understand why the coaches and the players were so upset, but the truth is they got the call right.
Bees, can I give you a different perspective on that?
Mm-hmm.
Every week, there's some coaching staffs that give out tendencies of officials on Monday. What they like to call, you have a heads up on these things. So we kind of have an idea of what the officials like to call, whether it's, you know, hey, if you're a left tackle, you got to get up. He's not going to give you that extra couple of inches, you know, off the ball. Now, as the game is being played, the DBs and cornerbacks have been allowed to play a certain way, right? You don't know what the officials have done. You don't know whether there's been some other ticky-tack fouls or some other close ones that they look at and say, it was irrelevant and just let it go. You don't know that. My only problem with this call is that it's coming from New York where they don't have kind of an idea of how the game has been called to that point. And so it's not in context. The game is not in context because you hear on the TV all the time, hey, it looks like they're letting them, you know, they're letting them get a little handsy today. It looks like, oh, they're calling everything. And you hear that early in the game and you have to adjust. It's like a strike zone or anything like that. New York doesn't get a perspective of how the game is being called. And then to chime in at that moment to call a penalty, I think is unfair to the game.
Okay. I totally respect and understand and sympathize with that position, Leroy. Their beef wasn't with the official that Flores absolutely nuked on the field. Their beef isn't even with Al Riveron, who's the one who actually made their call. Their beef is with the dozens of owners who voted for the rule change in the spring, because right. the rule, as the letter of the law, was followed. It was, if there is clear and obvious pass interference, which there was, because Needham got there first, he grabbed his right shoulder and he tugged him.
No, agreed.
It was a pass interference. If there is a clear and obvious pass interference and the play is either able to be challenged because the coach has enough challenges left or under 2 minutes where the league can step in, the call should be reversed. So, yes, I understand their frustration. Their frustration shouldn't be with the officials or even the head of officiating who made the call. Mm-hmm. Their officials should be with Stephen Ross, and assuming Ross voted for it, and the dozens of other owners who put this rule in place.
And then 3 hours later, there's a clear touchdown and nobody can do anything.
Right.
Like, well, it's just
again, that's,
it's weird.
There are some flaws in the system,
right?
There really is.
So, Bees, I saw you retweeted this clip yesterday from the Rich Eisen show. Tom Curran, a Patriots supporter, throwing it out there. Was it just throwing it out there Tuesday that if Tom Brady were to move on and play somewhere else in 2020, he could see Miami being an option. Threw out some sound reasons with the fact that, you know, Stephen Ross loves Michigan and all the familiar Patriot faces. if the Dolphins were to do something like, let's say, draft Tua, who's got injury stuff that he's going to have to deal with, could you see this in any scenario happening where Tom Brady would actually be the Dolphins quarterback next year?
Oh, sure. I absolutely could for any number of reasons. One, Chad O'Shea and he know each other very well, and Chad O'Shea would be the one calling the plays for him. Obviously, I'm sure he has great respect for Brian Flores. He owes Brian Flores at least a portion of his last, most recent Super Bowl ring.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's great respect there. And let's be honest, guys. Giselle ain't moving to Cleveland or Cincinnati, okay? If Giselle's moving, it's going to be to a place like L.A. or Miami, maybe New York. I mean, she ain't going to the Midwest at this stage in her career, all right? So Miami is a lucrative destination, just like it is for NBA players, because allowing the Heat to assemble these great teams over the course of their history. I think that it does, on the surface, make a lot of sense. Now, the question I would have is this, and that might, it might sound like heresy, is Tom Brady worth it at age 43, who has real trouble throwing the football? I mean, to quote Adam Beasley, have you watched the film, Leroy?
Yes, I have. He's thrown a boatload of ducks, balls that even the short passes are just a little bit off, because he's trying to throw them too hard because he has no strength.
Would you watch the games this past year?
Exactly.
So I could see how you go, but guess what? I said the same thing about Peyton Manning, and they called him an NFL champion. So
look, if Brady is okay, and again, this is arguably the best quarterback to ever put on pads, right?
Yep.
I mean, he might be the best NFL player, period, to ever play the game.
Mm-hmm.
With apologies to Jim Brown and Lawrence Taylor and some other guys that probably would have a better argument, but he is one of the top five or six players ever to play football, regardless of position. Would he be okay coming to Miami over the last 25 years, an historically bad franchise that, oh yeah, has been one of the rivals of the Patriots, and be a stopgap, because that's what he would be? Would he be okay playing a year, maybe 2 years, waiting for Tua to get healthy and get his act together, and finish his career as, you know, an asterisk, as Joe Montana in Kansas City? Would he be okay doing that? That I don't have the answer for.
But on the surface, it
makes a lot of sense, because the Dolphins probably want to upgrade over Ryan Fitzpatrick, although at this stage it may be Fitzpatrick
Rosen in a
draft pick next year.
I was about to say, don't compare Fitzpatrick and Tom Brady. I can't let you go that far.
Although Fitzpatrick's a better runner, there's no doubt about that. Fitzpatrick's going to lead the team in rushing.
It's like snails racing.
He's 100. He shouldn't be out there running for 65 yards and leading the team in rushing.
That's incredible.
Once it gets to that point, though, hasn't the decision already been made about his abilities?
Who's this, Brady?
Brady, right. So, like, once he has to make that decision of where to go, that decision has pretty much already been made for him. He doesn't have – you know what I mean?
Really, the question is, does he want to have the end of his career? Was he nice with the Rams in late in his career?
Yeah, but what if he gets to reunite with his broski, Antonio Brown? Those two can't stop flirting on social media. AB gets to come play for the hometown
team. You
think
he's coming down here? There's no way.
He is down here.
No.
He lives here.
You think Brian Flores would bring him in?
Yeah.
No, that's you. Okay. I'm asking if Brian Flores would.
He is the king of second chances.
He is.
However, he might be a little gun-shy
after
the
fourth chances.
Yeah.
He's still got some unfinished food in the refrigerator.
Listen, it can't get worse than signing a running back who got arrested three times and then got arrested in a bye week or whatever the hell it was. So
wow.
It can only go up from there.
I mean, we could be setting ourselves up for a Super Bowl run. I mean, the Heat are going to obviously win it in June.
100%.
And the Dolphins are going to win it the next February. It's going to be the greatest year in Miami sports history with Tom Brady as Super Bowl MVP.
See, now you're speaking my language, Bees. Oh, by the way, were you in New York this week?
I was.
Oh. See, Robbie, we've been wondering this whole time.
Oh no! Like, am I presently in New York?
Yeah. Like, would the Dolphins?
No, I'm in the comfort of the Miami Herald's Parkland bureau.
So the Dolphins came home. Like, they didn't stay up
in
New York.
They flew home after the game on Sunday. They're going back up on Saturday.
I think they say that if the flight is longer than 4 hours or 5 hours, then they do it.
Mm. And plus, it's cold.
Yeah. Plus, why would you want to be there?
I mean, here's the thing: is that it's really no different than if the game 1 week was in Cincinnati and the next week in Buffalo, right? I mean, you're not going to stay up north. You're not going to stay in like Erie or something to cut the distance of the travel. You're going to come home.
People live there?
As much as I would have loved to have bankrupted the Miami Herald this week and stayed in Manhattan for 9 nights, they wisely brought us home.
They probably would have made you stay in Hoboken.
Very good point.
Like, you don't even know how nice Hoboken is. It just sounds like a place that would have a
just a bum-ass hotel.
Yeah, Motel 6.
Appreciate the time, Bees. Take
Thanks,
care,
Bees.
Man.
All right, guys.
That's Adam Bees. We always appreciate him joining us. We'll do a little celebrating to round out the show. Our boy Dunk, the Stroke Man, doing it. Plus, we got one more pair of Panthers tickets before to give away before the end of today's show. Be listening for Sergei Bobrovsky's Love of Trampolines. It is a party, man. It is a party to wrap up the show. It's been a party all show, quite frankly.
Zazzle 15 minutes just did a live read to me.
All right. 15 minutes each is brought to you by BrandsMart USA. Buying the BrandsMart way for the holiday season means the lowest prices and the largest selections of TVs, appliances, mattresses, cell phones, and more. Visit your local BrandsMart USA store today. Also brought to you by Comcast. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi. As we've been celebrating the Heat win all day today, Leroy. It's been a giant party the entire time. Felt like a party yesterday.
It was raining there threes.
There was Wookiees. There were stormtroopers.
What was their actual percentage from three?
Who? The Hawks?
No, not the Hawks.
Oh, the Heat?
Yeah.
The Heat finished shooting 34%.
Which is crazy.
14 of 41.
Because it seemed like they – that's it?
Yeah, and 10 of those were from Duncan Robinson.
It didn't seem
it's
like
really what the big difference in, like for the longest time in that game. What the big difference was is they the way Atlanta was shooting compared to how the Heat were shooting because the Heat were getting a lot of twos and Atlanta was raining threes.
As soon as you put a tall guy in front of
Trae Young,
that was it.
It's tough to score on a pterodactyl, man. Derek Jones Jr. gonna lock that bleep up.
Yep,
gonna lock that bleep up. Duncan Robinson is now among the greats. Brian Shaw, Mario Chalmers is we call it the 10 club, 10 3-pointers in a game. That is is now a record holder for Duncan Robinson. So good for him. That's awesome. And it's been a fun one, man. The Heat are undefeated at home still, 18-6 on the season. And now we welcome in the hashtag washed king. I'm hashtag washed king. I heard you all say that about me. I was washed. I heard you all say that. I'm like, who is saying this, dude? Who said this? Skip Bayless? Who's saying this? I don't understand. It's not a thing.
Does this season seem so much better because it's been so long since the Heat have won a bunch of games at home?
I don't know if it's just the home, but yeah, I mean, this has been a season without really a rut. They haven't lost consecutive games. It's just been, I don't know, the way they play has been fun. It's all young guys coming through for you. You feel like you have a star in Jimmy Butler, which gives you national relevance. You feel like Bam is kind of turning into a star. Mm-hmm. I think all of that stuff makes you feel great about it. And they battled through adversity, too. I mean, they've had injuries to go through. They had a guard who had a bad gummy trip on an airplane. A lot of adversity.
Is it? You call it Dion Waiters adversity?
Oh, it was adversity. Do you remember how they looked when they played the Lakers in L.A.? They were shook. Guy was on a spirit quest in the middle of 30,000 feet in the air.
No, his quest was over. He was ready to be off his quest.
He's out there seeing Baby Yoda.
Yep.
Philly cheese. Cheese Philly, you are. It was fun, man. So yeah, it's been great. Duncan Robinson, what can you say about that guy? With his performance yesterday, Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, they love each other. They're like the dynamic duo. Just completely lighting up that locker room with good energy, good vibes. And Kendrick Nunn with a nice performance yesterday. I mean, it's pretty crazy that when you have an undrafted rookie having 36 points in a game, it's kind of like the last bullet point on the night. But that's what it felt like with Bam getting his first career triple double, him and Jimmy becoming the first Heat teammates to get triple doubles in a game together, and Duncan Robinson getting a record. And oh, by the way, you had a rookie who was trying to go for the rookie scoring record last night as well. So. It's a crazy stat night. Like, I know Jimmy Butler wants to temper how great you should feel about it, and I understand that he's a man of high expectations. But, you know, it also is important to get through games where you're probably not supposed to win. It's not like the Big Three didn't do that also, where they would coast through games and all of a sudden would flip the switch. and pull one out. Like, everybody remembers the infamous one in Washington where they had no business winning that game. Mm-hmm. It was a miracle, and they damn pulled out win. Like, they would do that all the time. I'm not trying to compare this team to the Big Three, but it's okay to figure out ways to win every once in a while, because you're going to win in all types of ways. They've done the storming over teams. You know,
the slugfest.
Like, how often do you have a team play a perfect 48 minutes in a basketball game these days with the runs people go on?
It's ebbs and flows. It's ebbs and flows. And you got to be able to, you know, if you're ahead, run some offense to stay ahead. And if you're behind, run some offense to stay behind and get stops. Yeah.
Before we get out of here, I want to let people know you can join Hawk and Crowder for a live broadcast from the 8th annual Channing Crowder Toy Drive at the Lester H. White Boys and Girls Club in Fort Lauderdale on Thursday, December 19th. It is beginning at 2 p.m. You guys stop by, donate a new unwrapped toy. You can donate games. You can give gift cards for boys and girls between the ages of 6 and 18. Donations are also being accepted at the club during normal business hours. Those are Monday to Friday from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So you can check that on out. Again, it is Hawk and Crowder going to be broadcasting live for their 8th annual Channing Crowder Toy Drive at the Lester H. White Boys and Girls Club in Fort Lauderdale Thursday, December 19th. So everything was good last night, other than the Panthers letting down your boy Bob, our trampoline-loving favorite Russian goalie. He puts out another great performance, and his teammates weren't up to – where were you last night, Barky? Although the Heat, I tell you one thing. You want to talk about replay? These damn referees screwed the Panthers last night with this Conley high stick. You know what? You score a goal, you score a goal. I don't care where the puck is. All right. I don't care if your stick is up here like a tennis racket. A goal's a goal, Leroy. I don't care if you score like it's
you
lacrosse.
You can't be yielding that thing like a weapon.
You go up there if it's like a samurai sword. I don't care. A goal's a goal. The puck goes in the net. Goal. They screwed them.
All right.
Screwed them. Let's celebrate Duncan Robinson's record performance the only way we should, Leroy, and that is in song. Goodbye, everybody.